Okay, today I'm in Somerset with Debbie Matthews, the founder of Go Racing Green. Thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us today, Debbie. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the aim of Go Racing Green and what Go Racing Green is for people that don't know?
Well, Go Racing Green was really started by accident. It was as a result of me travelling to Ascot to see Ultior run. It was the first time I'd really been racing due to a lot of mental health issues and anxieties that I have around new places, crowds and things that are just basically unfamiliar. So it's really just an initiative to hopefully help as many people go racing as possible that face challenges that prevent them from doing so.
Is your background in racing?
No, my background's in tourism. So I've worked in tourism ever since leaving school. I started out doing hotel management, and then I ran my own tourism consultancy, doing a lot within the accessible tourism sector and also digital marketing.
Okay, so were you a racing fan during that time, or is it something you've come into recently?
It's much more recent. I actually started watching racing at Cheltenham Festival 2017 when it was on the telly. I was at home, I was pregnant with my son and not feeling particularly well. And it just happened to come on the television. That was the first time I saw Ultior race. I didn't know who he was. I just thought, oh, that horse is flying over fences. And I started following him and then just started following racing from there.
Okay, so why did you decide to set Go Racing Green up? Well, I know you said that you just help other people. Was there a particular moment before? Oh, this is a...
I sent a tweet out before I went to Ascot that morning saying that I was going to face my fears that day and actually go racing rather than hide behind the television. The response to that tweet was absolutely immense. It was picked up by the Racing Post, who did a couple of articles on it. And then I was just inundated with tweets and messages from people that were racing fans that either went racing previously but for whatever reason were not able to go anymore, or followed racing and had never been racing and faced challenges that were preventing them from actually going.
So it's nice to hear that social media was a positive, because Twitter can be a pretty negative place at times.
All started from Twitter.
Excellent. So we see everywhere facilities for disabled people, physically disabled people at the races. So do you think that maybe the race courses don't cater for people with anxiety and mental health issues as well, or maybe they're just not aware?
I think it's lack of awareness, and you know, I want to point out the racing industry aren't certainly not behind in this. You know, I work with a lot of businesses, accommodation businesses, attractions, all sorts of things, and you know, they're certainly not alone. There is just a lot more that needs to be done to help people that have things that cannot be seen.
Okay, now I assumed, sure, you shouldn't assume, that before I came here that you were probably a steeped in racing person, so it was interesting that you are a recent convert. So would Go Racing Green be primarily for people who used to go racing and then for whatever reason stop going, or would you encourage it, as you've sort of found, as a new activity for those suffering who may previously not have been racing fans?
I want it to be both. You know, one of my main aims is to get more people to go racing, and that is probably 50% of what Go Racing Green is about. So whether that's a new audience, you know, I have had people come on stable visits that are perhaps not fully into racing that have been converted. So, you know, it really is twofold. Surely the more people we can get racing, the better.
So I've heard a lot about people that have gone racing for the first time and been hooked by the atmosphere, atmosphere, the days out racing. So you were hooked before you even went.
Yes.
How was your first experience at the races?
I was obviously very anxious. It was the first time, and I went by myself, and my aim was to see Ultior, and I thought, well, if I can just get there and then go in and see Ultior and come out, that would have been a major achievement for me. And that really was, that was the extent of my first day's racing. So, you know, it wasn't anything I felt I could cope with in any greater capacity than that at that time.
Because, I mean, anyone that doesn't suffer from any sort of anxiety still quite often say that it's slightly alien when you go to the races.
Okay, that's interesting.
you know, that's one of the criticisms that I've heard of racing, that it is a bit exclusive when it comes to new people going. So when Go Racing Green meet up for a day at the races, how would your day typically go? And how does it differ for some that just would risk it like you did and turn up on their own?
I like to think it just helps people have the confidence that there are other people there that will support them. So obviously, although there are not many courses that have the Go Racing Green facilities, I just think having that confidence that you're not on your own and that there are people that you can either just say hello to if you want to, or people that you can spend the whole of the race day with if you want to, is just an extra level of confidence. And also people that actually understand if you are feeling a little bit anxious or you're uncertain, or there's certain support that you might need.
So would you typically choose a big day, or would you specifically go maybe on a Tuesday for people for the first time? Would you sort of consider that be less daunting?
I try and cover both, because there's some people that have, you know, and I think this is sort of quite a valid point as well to get across, some people have challenges that aren't affected by crowds and busy places and the unknown environment. They have other challenges, but you know, they still want to go racing and feel a bit more secure. So the initiative is 100% inclusive. If people want to tell me what they're facing, that's fine. If they don't, there's no questions asked. But I try and do different types of race days to try and make sure that I'm being as inclusive as possible and getting as many people there that want to enjoy whichever type of race day they prefer to go to.
And you've had some big name supporters, Nicky Henderson and Unibet bookmakers have both sort of stepped in. How did that come around?
Well, Ed Nicholson contacted me quite soon after Go Racing Green started and said that Kindred were developing a new form of sponsorship, which was to support, you know, communities. They were doing similar things within football, and did I think it would work with Go Racing Green? So we met up in Bath and had a coffee and talked about it. And they have kindly offered to sponsor me for the community side of it. So that is the stable visits that I do, and the meetups and the other various community events.
Okay, now your background, successful marketing. Mm-hmm. And worked in big projects with big budgets. What have you learned from that background that could possibly help with Go Racing Green's aims?
I did a lot of work, obviously. I worked with Visit Cheltenham, Visit Newquay, Visit Cornwall, Visit English Riviera. I was the destination manager for Western Supermare for 5 years. So I've done a lot with accessible and dementia tourism within those roles. So a lot of training. A lot of time sort of spent implementing accessible marketing campaigns and that sort of thing. And also, I've also done a lot of marketing aside from the accessibility side. So, you know, experimental tourism, big events, and just sort of general marketing, which obviously all helps me to understand how race courses also, you know, obviously are a commercial entity. And so it sort of helps me understand the marketing side of it as well.
Okay, you mentioned that for 80% of the recent purse for the Northumberland Plate, which equates to £20,000, you can make all race courses go race and green race course. So what would that entail?
That entails me giving the staff awareness training, which I'm obviously qualified to do, in Dementia Friends and Autism Awareness. I also would write for them an accessibility guide, but not a disability as in physical accessibility guide, but what I call an invisible accessibility guide for their website, and a sensory guide. So anyone that has challenges with the unknown, sensory perception challenges, they have all that pre-event information handy on the website for them. And just creating a safe area and looking to create a suitable safe area that's not a million miles away from a toilet or somewhere that you have to walk through lots of people to get a coffee, for example, just so that there's sort of a safe place that people can congregate. Again, they might just want to spend 2 minutes in there if they just have a bit of a moment, or they just might want to stand there for the whole of the race day, but just sort of a safe space.
Okay, and you mentioned the website, and you write a regular blog on there. One of those blogs mentioned that Peaky Blinders, a TV show, has made racing trendy with the younger in society. Sort of came across as slightly a bad thing. Would that be because of the conversations with the programme, it's quite violent, etc.?
I actually liked the programme, so I'm not knocking it from that perspective. Obviously, as I previously mentioned, I've done a lot of work in experiential tourism, and that essentially is what Peaky Blinders is. Things come along and, you know, they make a certain element or a certain sector very trendy. Sometimes it has longevity, sometimes it doesn't. Obviously, there is a market for all those people, and many of them may continue to go racing. I think the key point here is I'm not telling racecourses to stop doing that. I'm saying that their market and my market can coexist with the right facilities implemented at the racecourse.
Yeah, we've all seen the some of the bad scenes that you get, especially the bigger meetings in the summer. You think that the fact you mentioned that some people that come along for that initial reason may stay and become racing fans is a fair payoff for what you have to put up with maybe in the short term?
Possibly. You know, I'm not a racing expert, so as I say, you know, race courses need to make their money, and if they probably know the better way of doing that more than I do without a racing background, albeit I do have a marketing background. However, we are also a market of people that will come and buy our tickets and spend money, and I'm not sure that that's being recognised yet.
You've mentioned in one of the blogs as well, I'm referencing them all now.
Yeah, that's but okay.
You mentioned that some people sort of return home with something akin to PTSD after a day at the races. You know, why do you think that is?
Because I've had awful experiences at race days for various reasons. And I think the most dangerous thing a race course can do is say that it's accessible by ticking boxes without actually putting any thought behind that. Because a bad experience for a person that perhaps doesn't have any challenges will be written off as a bad day. A bad experience for someone like myself, or, you know, there are people a lot further, you know, along the scale than I am, especially people that have perhaps early onset dementia, sensory processing challenges, where, you know, events can very much trigger a very long-term negative effect.
You mentioned box ticking there. Racing seems to be a bit prevalent to the box ticking.
Yeah, I honestly do believe so. You know, things come along, don't they, all the time in the news for various sectors of the community, and everyone jumps on the bandwagon and wears their badges. And I think straight away, again, I'm not just relating this to racing, I'm relating this across many industries. Think, oh, well, we better do something about that. So they might read a bit about it, you know, wear their badges, tick some boxes, but actually, what I do, apart from the sort of theory and the academic side of what I know about, you know, all the conditions I work alongside, I have a lot of theory, and I also have a massive community of thousands of people that actually live with these challenges every day. So who better to tell me what needs to be done at the race course than those people?
And do you think people sort of are starting to listen? Race courses and the sort of racing itself?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, now you wrote a blog, which I thought was quite, you know, it was quite heart-hitting actually, highlighting empty promises made in all sorts of aspects. Can you expand a bit on that?
I just think that I've had lots of meetings or promises of meetings since Go Racing Green started from various people and various organisations within industries. You know, some of them have happened, and, you know, like with Unibet, for example, and some really good stuff's come out of them. Others have just never been followed through or have just clearly not been understood. And I think, you know, someone like myself, despite how successful I've been in my career and the awards I've won, I have very low confidence, very low self-esteem. And I think perhaps people just don't have the thought that some of the things that they're saying that they're then taking away can have a very negative impact on a person. So really that was what it's about. I'd rather people were just honest and say, look, we really don't think what you're doing is any good or it's not going to work for us, than say that they're going to do it and then not.
Yeah, and somebody from your background would probably be the least sort of person you'd least expect to suffer from sort of anxiety and a lack of confidence, given the sort of work you've had to do. So if you got the call, somebody has listened, and they're in authority and they've rung you up, and you're able to start making all the changes that you would like to make, where would you start?
I think firstly, you know, there's a lot of organisations that have not even seen my presentation. Unibet have seen my presentation, and the few race courses that have taken this up. None of the bodies within the industry have actually seen my presentation. And I think, as you know, Ed Nicholson said after he saw it, you need to present this to the media, you need to go out there, because this is what will make people get it. So for me, you know, if someone would give me the time to do that, that would be a brilliant start. And then obviously from there, it's not a massive process. You know, it's just rolling the same thing out. Obviously, every course is set up differently. So in terms of the area and the guide, it's going to be slightly different. But it's really not a complex process. And I sort of feel, you know, it's been recognised by Visit England, by the Alzheimer Society, by an Exeter University study. So I sort of sit here thinking, what else can I actually do to give this some authority?
Okay, so finally, if somebody's watching this and they're thinking, man, this looks right up my street, you know, if they want a bit of advice, a bit of help, a G up maybe to go racing for the first time, join one of your race days or stable visits, how do they get involved?
Well, they can email me, or the simplest thing is to go on the website, which is goracinggreen.co.uk. There's a phone number and an email on there. They, if they're not ready to go racing, that's fine. You know, a lot of what I do, and particularly has been happening over lockdown, is people talk to me about their problems. A lot of people say they relate to me because I'm not a counsellor. I have no qualifications there, but if you've read my blogs, you know, I'm very honest about my own experiences, and people feel that they say that I'm real and that they feel that they can talk to me. So even if someone just wants to talk about something, then I talk to people every day and I'm happy to do that. But similarly, if they want to go racing when we're permitted, and if they want to come on stable visits and picnics and all the other sorts of things we do, then absolutely everyone is welcome. There are no questions asked whatsoever.
Okay, and we'll put the address on the where this is posted. And I think for advice for anybody, that the blogs are definitely a good place to start, because they're very, very illuminating. Anyway, so get hold of Debbie if you're interested. Debbie, thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us today, and best of luck with it.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
You can follow Star Sports on Twitter at @StarSports_bet, our Facebook page at Star Sports Bet, and also view all our latest videos on YouTube at Star Sports. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.